IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. Wow, we woke up to a winter wonderland this morning.
The first one of the year, I might add.
Right, we're up in Park City and we've been missing snow. We got a little bit last week, but this is beautiful.
Well,
wow.
We got enough to cover the trees and cover the ground, and the sun comes up today and there's a waning half moon, exactly half, still up there in the west. Our neighbor's out blowing his snow. Wow, what a contrast to where we were last week at this time.
In Mexico. Wow, no kidding. Surrounded by so much green, it hurts your eyes. It was so beautiful. Flowers and, oh, back into midsummer was really beautiful.
And welcome to 2026, and welcome to the 16th season, the 16th year of IRS on the Road. That's a long time, honey.
It is a long time.
If we'd had a baby when we started this show, she'd be 16 now.
Oh, oh, I'm sure glad we didn't. That's all we need right now is a 16-year-old. Wow.
You had a dream last night that we had a whole bunch of little kids.
I did.
Was that kind of like a nightmare, basically?
Well, they were really cute. There was a whole bunch of them, but I won't go into the details. You'll think I'm totally crazy. Anyway, it is just pure beauty up here today. And we hope that wherever you are, you're in some beauty and struggling through this first part of 2026. Can you believe we're at 2026?
Why did you change the subject from your dream? One of my favorite things is we wake up and Linda says, "Whoa, I had a crazy dream." And then she tries to tell it to me.
It's just too
outrageous.
And it just
kind of totally falls apart.
It totally proves that I am crazy, that it would ever come out of my mind. But anyway, we hope that your 2026 is going well. Wow, I can't believe it. We're beginning the last, how do you explain it? The last quarter of the century.
Oh, no. We're moving into the second quarter of the century. We finished the first 25 years.
Of course, not the last one, yeah.
And now we're moving into the second quarter of the 20th century. Wow. You know, We celebrated, while we were in Mexico, we celebrated two birthdays within those who were there from our family. Our son-in-law, Jared, who was born on the 31st and was a nice tax deduction for his family.
Yeah, that was great.
And then his oldest son, he and our daughter, Saren, had their first son on January 3rd. Missing their tax deduction.
Right.
And not quite early enough to win the first Baby of the Year award. But what was fun is that we had piñatas for both of them, and we were thinking about this grandson, our second oldest grandson, who was born in the year 2000 on January 3rd. So it's pretty easy to know how old he is, right?
Right, exactly.
But I was saying to him while we were down there, Ashton, the problem is you're probably, unless you live to be over 100, you're only going to get to live in one century.
That's true.
Most of us get to live in two centuries. And in our case, honey, we'll kind of divide our time on Earth pretty much equally between the 20th century and the 21st century. That's if we live quite a bit longer, which we plan to do. So there you go. I don't know why I even said that.
But when you think about the century our parents were born in, especially my parents, because my mom was 38, my dad was 54 when I was born. And it is amazing to think of what has happened then. They would not believe what we have access to now.
Well, and tying that in with the book we're reading for a book club, which is about the Lewis and Clark expedition. And, you know, Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, the third president's the one who sent him out. And that was in the early 19th century. So we're talking about 1805, 1806. Which, when you think about it, not that long ago, but my gosh, none of none of the west part of America had been mapped or explored or anything. And it makes you realize how time is such a fleeting thing, right?
It is.
We're not trying to be philosophical here, but we did want to kind of just tell you a little more about our experience in Mexico, why we went and what we went for. And then we want to move into how to live the second half of life spiritually. And we have got a pretty powerful, well, I don't know if it's powerful, but it's pretty involved.
Yeah.
It's a meditation formula that we think really, really works, or a prayer formula, depending on how you look at life and how you look at faith. But I did want to say, you know, two of the things I'm thinking about that were so interesting, this old, imagine this very old, 200-year-old, speaking of time, sugarcane plantation, basically a castle, this incredible hacienda that we've been able to find, and big enough for, you know, our whole family and a lot of grandkids, 10 bedrooms. But the two things that I'm kind of taking away with me, they have this enormous dining room table. It's just like it easily seated the 25 of us who were there around it, this long table with beautiful leather, tooled leather seats and a chandelier overhead. And I mean, some of our grandkids said, you know, it's like this was more like a story than like reality. It was more like a fantasy. But anyway, we're sitting there, and the first one I want to recall is that we went all the way around the table. We had kids down to Faithy, who's 9 years old, but most of them were teenagers and young marrieds. And then
young adults, a lot of college kids. Yeah.
And five of our own kids. And we went around the table, and everyone just told one resolution they were making or thinking of making for 2026, or just a word. A lot of them won't pick one word that's going to be sort of their guideline for the whole year. And that was just so interesting. We were taking notes and marveling at how differently each of our kids and grandkids think and how they conceptualize and put things together. And then the last night we were there, we went around the table again, and this time it was a very interesting question. It was, okay, what is one thing that could happen in 2026 that would make it the best year of your life so far? And it could be something that you want to happen or you wish would happen or that you think you can make happen. But what is one thing that if it happened, you would say, wow, this is the best year of my life so far? And that was so
interesting. It was fascinating and different for everyone. One little surprise from one of our sons was that it would be the best year of his life if he could talk his wife into going to live in Africa.
Yeah,
it shows you how crazy the kids are.
And then some of the grandkids were like, well, if I could get an internship in a big ad agency in New York, and if I could run a marathon in under 3 hours,
wow,
that would make it the best year of my life. And then we're like, wow, that's kind of in a way a better question to ask than just what's your New Year's resolution? Because we're saying, yeah, what's one thing that if it happened, it would make it the best year of your life? So we had a lot of fun down there. And the whole idea of this trip, just to sort of give you our perspective on it, is we just remember that when we were young, relatively young parents and you know, struggling with a lot of kids and a lot of bills and a lot of other things, one of the things we wanted to do and never really had much opportunity to do was get away, get out of our comfort zone, get away and think, get away and plan the year, get away and think about the year ahead, get away and, you know, work on our lives. And so we try to do these things. We always have a name for them. This Linda laughs at me, but we call them the relationship and spiritual creation facilitation trips.
That's
really R and S C F.
You have to admit, you listeners, that is kind of funny. this mind just never stops. This mind that I'm sitting by is just really remarkable. And he just comes up with the craziest things. I couldn't
think of it. Well, what about your mind?
I sat all day.
Your dreams at night.
Oh, my, yeah. And my mind goes to, I'm going to organize all my drawers. I'm going to get through all of this stuff that I've been collecting all these years. And I'm going to take pictures of them and throw them away, because then my children don't have to do that after I die. And, you know, that's the way my mind works. And now
I'm off here thinking about R and SCF trips.
Right.
But it did facilitate relationships, and it did facilitate spiritual creation or planning, right?
It did.
So anyway, and believe me, if you do it in some third world parts of the world, it doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be a trip at all. It could be a gathering in your own home. It could be, I was going to say a camping trip, but that's a little hard to imagine this time of year, depending on where you live.
And just renting a big room in a hotel or something, you know, just so you can get together. And maybe it doesn't need to be so big for you, but
yeah. And if you're a grandparent, I mean, just a lot of us, we know that gathering, if the family's going to be gathered, it's going to be you as the grandparent who does it, who really takes the initiative. Just like if those kids are going to learn about their ancestors, it's going to be you that's going to teach them. There are just certain things no one else can do. And yet sometimes we're like, oh, but it's so much trouble to get them all together. And it may bring out tensions or relationships that aren't so good, or people who don't particularly like to be with each other. And I just don't know if I can do it. Just do it, because the pluses of gathering your family or big parts of your family, the pluses are always greater than the minuses.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be big and grandiose like that. We've been working on this for a lot of years, but if your family's a little fractured, maybe just organize a book group. I mean, just together what book you want
to
read
together
that you think everyone would really...
I like that idea.
Maybe not a political or religious book.
Right,
but
maybe not.
But just something that everyone would really be interested in. And then just meet for dinner. So it doesn't even have to be at somebody's house. Just meet somewhere where you can get a private room and just talk about a book and enjoy being with each other without any talk of political, religion, or anything like that could be destructive. So just think about it. Think about how in the world you can make it work for your family.
Yeah, and we're going to, next month on how to live the second half of life, we're going to talk about how to live. Is it familially or is it financially? Which of the two are we doing first? I forget.
You're
Anyways, one of the next 2 months is going to be on how to live the second half familially. And a big part of it, if you're in the second half of life, is being a gatherer, or as we often like to say, being the trunk of your family, the thing that connects your roots to your branches, right?
Right. And we only have 2 more months of the second half of life.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we're not going to die, but we'll go on with something fun. Okay, so there are so many interesting things in a new year. It's kind of a new start for a lot of people. I'm going to a physical therapist today. I'm going to get my leg and my hip and my knee back in line, and I'm going to have a new experience, because when I get to Hawaii, I'm going to be able to walk a mile and jog a mile, which is really a challenge at this moment. But
yeah, and we're
working on it.
And we're coming back a lot as we think together this week. And again, this is going to come out big time when we get to how to live the second half familially or within our families. But we call it the team approach. We've mentioned it on the show before. And that's teaming up with your kids, teaming up with other grandparents. But it's also an acronym where T is the trunk. You're the trunk of your family. E is the ear. You're the listener. You're the one who listens without judging and really pays attention. A is, you know, the assembler, which we're talking about, gathering, assembling. And M is the match, giving to kids as you're able to financially, but doing it in a smart way, usually through matching gifts where they have the initiative to come up with half.
Yeah, we'll do
so
that.
We'll get into that. But that, for today, let's take a little just a brief break. And when we come back, we want to give you this formula that we think is working for us on how to pray in a new and powerful way, or meditate in a new and powerful way on a daily basis, because that's what we're talking about when we say how to live the second half of life spiritually.
So hang on, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back, talking this segment about the second half of life spiritually and how to recreate things in your mind. I'm so lucky to be married to this man because he can get me organized.
No. Actually, I
can get him organized in other ways.
You get me organized. But also, I want to make an admission here before we give you this little formula. Linda doesn't need this formula. I need it because I can't do things intuitively like you can, honey. You are an exceptional prayer. Is that a word? Prayer? You're a person who prays extremely well. And you do it without any formula. You're just intuitively in tune, I think, with the Spirit. And I have to struggle to get myself in a place where I can really receive what I hope to receive. And again, we should introduce this. We know that there are people who listen to Iyer's on the Road who are not particularly religious or particularly into prayer, although we believe that most of our audience is
prayerful, probably
made up of people who pray, but we don't want anyone to feel left out. So think of this formula we want to give you as something for meditation or as something for prayer, because it'll work either way. I believe it will, especially for people like me who are not intuitively and inherently good at meditating or being in a spiritual way.
Okay.
So
this is kind of
just laughing because she's looking at my little chart here.
You have a graph here that is blow you away if you could see it, but it is good to just think about this for a minute because we can get something from it. I mean, I know that you really work on this, and I pick a word or two out and work on it too, but not the same way.
You don't need it, but I do. But it gets us both to the same place. You through your inherent intuitive ability, and me through this conceptual analysis. Okay, so the reason I can remember it and do it every day is that it's 8 steps, and each of those steps is a word that starts with R-E, which are my initials, but that's a sort of a side point. But each of these words is 7 letters long and begins with R-E, and they form, in my mind, a conceptual sequence to go through in order to try to get myself into a spiritual point of view or a spiritual paradigm. And again, it is interesting that across America, less than 50% on polls say they are religious, but more than 80% say they are spiritual. So again, this is not something exclusive to some denomination.
Well, I think most people realize that we're spiritual beings.
Yeah.
We are. And so go ahead. Go for it, honey. But
you
don't need to get a pen and pencil out unless you're really into this, right? However, these words
Well, I would, because I'd want to, write it all down.
Of course you would. But every word is so thoughtful. And if we could just think about these and, if you can write them down, it really would be helpful. But it's things that we can't think about unless I couldn't do that without a visual, without looking at that and thinking, okay, this is what I need to do.
Well,
so.
Don't think, oh my gosh, 8 steps, that's a big long sequence. I don't want to go through that. You can actually do these very quickly once you're used to them. But why don't you read them as we go down, and I'll just color commentate on each of them. Again, think of yourself as kneeling down to pray in the morning or meditating somewhere in the morning. This is start of the day kind of thing. And Linda will read the words. Note that they are all 7 letters and they all start with R-E and they're in a sequence. You do one, which enables you to do the next one and so on, to try to get to the point where you're in a spiritual paradigm and you're hopefully receiving something more powerful than you could think up in your own brain.
Okay, so the first one is relaxed.
You need to be relaxed. You can't have this kind of meditation or prayer if you're tense or if you're burdened with a whole lot of things. And that's why it's good to do it before you look at your phone in the morning, before you start worrying about the day. You're going to do this first. And the first thing to do is relax, shake it out, take a couple of deep breaths. I think you relax your wrists and your ankles and just take a minute and relax.
Okay, and then remember.
I had to spell out without the last E in order to make it 7
oh, not
letters.
Oh.
Remember, R-E-M-E-M-B-R. And the two things to remember on that second step, I think, and you may think of others, but number one is how blessed you are relative to so many people in the world. And just sort of quickly remind yourself of all of your blessings and dwell on them rather than on your problems. And two, remember how small you are. Remember how basically nothing you are. Nothingness is one of our favorite words. And sitting here looking at these mountains today as we do this recording, we're tiny. And whether you think of that in terms of God is great and I am basically nothing, or whether you think of it in terms of the universe is vast and I'm a little grain of sand, it's just that the remembering your humility and remembering your blessings.
Okay.
And you can do that very quickly.
All right. Then rethink.
This is our son Tal who's taught us so much about this. Rethink, recalibrate, get to where you're saying, I need the Spirit. I ask for the Holy Ghost. I ask for the Spirit. And I need to love more. I need to pull love into me. I need to rethink in the framework of love and of spirit. I need to get my mind away from the mundane materialism of the moment for a minute. That was a lot of M's, by the way, alliteration. And I need to get ready now to do the next step.
And to rethink, if you're having a problem or if you're upset about something, rethink it. Rethink about a different way you can look at it. That's one of my favorite ones, because rethink that. Maybe it's not as serious as you think. Maybe you can go a different way and so on.
Yeah, maybe the thing you're worried about is actually a good thing. We love this story we heard recently of an elder in an African tribe, and the people would bring him their problems. And the first thing he would always say is, are we sure that is a bad thing? And they look at it in a new way.
Rethink. Okay.
And that all leads up to number 4, which is it's sort of that we're getting to the heart of it now.
Okay. Release.
And that's hard, but it's the most powerful thing you can do. And that's, I release my own agenda. I do have a plan. I do have some things I need to do today. But I release that. I would much rather do something that I now feel inspired to do, or that you give me, God, or that the universe sends me. I will release my own agenda as needed this day. I'm not the important one. This isn't about me. I release. That's
right.
Number 4.
Okay. Number 5 also is a core word, request.
Yeah, I've got a box around number 4 and 5, because release your own agenda, it's not about you, and request that you get on God's wavelength or on a bigger stage than you are on. Request guidance, request epiphanies, request some kind of inspiration or nudge that sort of leads you to what would really matter today. That's where you're trying to get on a higher plane. So now you've relaxed, you've remembered, you've rethunk, you've released, and now you've requested. You've requested guidance. And now is the time to just be there. Just listen. Don't jump to the next step. See what comes to you. That's the heart.
But the next step is the crux of the whole thing, because it's receive.
Yeah.
Number six. Receive what you're looking for. And sometimes that comes bam, you know, especially if you relax your mind and you're ready for it. Sometimes not. It takes a while to receive.
Sometimes God's just waiting for you to ask, and the answer's right there. The minute you request you can receive it. Other times it takes longer, but you've essentially said, I'm open. It's your day. I'm turning this day over to you, God, or again, to something bigger than myself. So receive, number six. And then, of course, seven, now, you know, this will happen as the day goes on, but you're committing to it. I will respond. Sorry, you were going to read.
No, it's all right. Respond is...
When I receive something, I will respond.
You can't just sit on it and like, oh, that's what I should do. And then if you're like me, by noon, you kind of forget about what you should do or what you thought about.
You should have a pen.
You have to do something.
You should write it down while you're doing this. You should have, when something comes, have a pen close by and write it down. And again, I want to hit those two, the receive and respond, just a little harder even, because we were watching football last night. By the way, it was an incredible game of Miami and Ole Miss, their semifinal of the college playoffs. And they're both quarterbacks were passing, but there were a couple of receptions. Again, you've heard the football analogy, but it's not just about the pass, it's receiving. Receiving is not a passive thing in football. If you're the receiver, you go get the ball. Wherever that's thrown, you get it. You are receiving. It's this active, I want it, I will get it, I will receive it, I will catch it. And that's the way we need to think about this meditation. If you release your own agenda, request God's guidance, then you've got to receive it. Receiving is an active process, and then you respond to it.
Right.
And now we're down to number eight.
Number eight is my favorite. Rejoice. It is so important to like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But then we say, oh, thank you for that. Oh, thank you. Of course.
And
of
then we
course
take it
that's
for
what
granted
I should do.
If we're not careful.
Oh, I'm so happy that I have this a new idea, or that I can do this. I can. It's just a beautiful word, rejoice.
In fact, I like to spell it with a Y instead of an I. Rejoice, J-O-Y-C-E. Put a little joy right in the middle of that.
Of course,
rejoicing,
you do.
Right. So again, if you were writing it down, relaxed, remember, rethink, release. Request, receive, respond, and rejoice. I try to do it every morning. Linda doesn't need it, but you sort of do it subconsciously, I think.
But this helps me to remember that I should rethink a lot and release a lot, request a lot, then receive and then respond. I don't really, and I'm sure you don't do this every single morning, and it just really works on anything.
I pretty much do. No, I do it, but I sometimes receive a lot better than I do other days.
Yeah, and respond sometimes, because you just jump up and go into the world after you've had your prayer. But it is a really good way to meditate and think about what you're asking for, and then rejoice.
And do it before you look at your phone and before you race out to jump in your car or whatever you do.
I think I need to do better. Thank you, honey.
We both do.
We hope we've given you something to think about this morning. And if you just like, can't do that, just pick one little thing that you can do. And it is really so important to really feel like you have a relationship with God. And this is a really good way to do it. So,
well, we love you all. Happy 2026. And we'll see you next time on
Ayers on the Road. Bye-bye.